Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Let it play.
Welcome to another edition of the Morning Briefing. I'm Jeff DeForest along with Mike Luby Lubitz, and we are feeling a tremendous sense of relief here in South Florida as the Florida Panthers staved off infamy last night and avoided being forever remembered as the biggest choking team in the history of sports, going all the way back to 1942. I would say this, Luby. This would have been the biggest choke since Mama Cass supposedly choked on a ham sandwich. Now, a lot of people are saying that story was bullshit, that she actually died of a drug overdose and incessant use of alcohol and drugs that were a little too powerful. But the irony of the story that she might have checked out from choking on a ham sandwich, a woman who was fat shamed and body shamed her entire life, and you would have to say was somewhat on the morbidly obese side, the ironies there are unavoidable. If you're thinking about that she checked out eating a ham sandwich, and then beyond that, you're asking yourself, none of the other three mamas or papas, including Michelle Phillips, none of them knew how to do CPR. They just sat there and instead of doing the Heimlich maneuver said, "Hey, mama, have another bite." This would have been a choke of those kind of gargantuan proportions had the Panthers been up 3-0 in the Stanley Cup final, having never won a Stanley Cup in the 30-year history of the franchise. And the Edmonton Oilers were charging, storming ahead. They rattled off three straight wins, and they were very much in this game last night. But managed to dodge a very big bullet. Now, if you were betting on the game, the best place to do that would have been Bet Online, your number one source for all sports betting. And they have it all, baseball, golf, soccer, right on through the top fights in the UFC, MMA, boxing. You want to bet on Tank Davis? Go ahead. You're going to have to lay a price. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, you can head on over to their online casino. And you can participate in poker or blackjack or play one of the over 150 slot games that are available to you. Head on over to the website today. Get in on all the action. Use the promo code, please, people. Use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. Well, it didn't end. I mean, for a long time, South Florida was questioned as to whether or not it could ever respond to being a so-called hockey town. And I remember the origins of the franchise, Luby. Before it all got started, Wayne Huizenga had a notion he was going to bring hockey to South Florida. People laughed in his face. Here's one of the richest guys in the world, and they're looking at him going, "Wayne, hockey in South Florida? The only ice that anybody's familiar with in South Florida is at the bottom of a martini glass, and that's if you water it on the rocks. Otherwise, forget about it. Nobody gives a flying on about it." They had an exhibition game here that got a modest response involving they brought out all the stars. They had Gretzky. I think they even dug up Bobby Hall to come out and play. And that was a little bit of a litmus test. And then somewhat surprisingly, South Florida was awarded the franchise. Now, that was at a time where the NHL hadn't realized that it wasn't good for an expansion team to suck for the first 30 years of their existence. So they had a bunch of grinders, a bunch of guys that maybe had slight recognition, but they blended together under Roger Neilson, who developed a strategy that even a bunch of grinders could end up executing and maybe compete with some of the best in the world. And they were able to do that for a period of time. And eventually, after 3 years, got themselves into the 95-96 season Stanley Cup final, where they lost in four games to the Colorado Avalanche, who were a monster dynastic club at the time, and Patrick Waugh. And we took that and said, well, that's a sign. Maybe there's some life here. And then it happened. The typical South Florida malaise. where everyone's trying to figure out what the fuck is wrong with this franchise. What kind of bozos are on this bus that are driving this team, including longtime, well-respected NHL executive Dale Tallon, who did nothing but bury this team into mediocrity for, it seemed like, endless decades of just subpar hockey and seasons that really were fueled by little hope. Last couple of years, though, things have changed. This guy, Bill Zito, that became the general manager, he should be the MVP of the Stanley Cup Finals. Never mind Connor McDavid on the losing team. Well, what kind of crap was that? And what, Luby, is wrong with Gary Bettman? Is there something wrong that we don't know about? Has nobody revealed that I hope this isn't the case. Does Bettman have Parkinson's? Or is he just shaking so badly that he had to make that bogus announcement that Connor McDavid had won the Conn Smythe Trophy? Now, some of you out there are probably saying, hey, look, it's for the whole playoffs. I don't give a shit. You had a guy that was...
That's my problem with it.
Look, monumental in the playoffs in the first few rounds. He had three lousy games in Sergei Bobrovsky, and then he throws just a brilliant effort out there in Game 7, the deciding game, and he doesn't get the Conn Smythe. You're going to put this little weasel out there on the ice who looks like a midget wrestler, Gary Bettman, and have him say, oh, by the way, fans... Let me explain this.
Well, they won it, and they won it at home. That was the other thing. Is it's not like, okay, it was in Edmonton. Fine. It was in South Florida.
Yes.
Bobrovsky played fantastic for 80%, for like 75% of the series, or maybe 70% of the series. Like, put it this way, Bobrovsky played better in that series for a long period of time than McDavid did. McDavid was fantastic for two games and was non-existent for five. Yeah. Bobrovsky was bad for three and great for four. Like, I don't know, and was great all playoffs. To me, and the fact that McDavid went away the last two games, it wasn't just the last game.
He did a vanishing act in the last couple of games. I mean, to his credit, he played his eyeballs out, tried every which way to make something happen. He was on the ice for the entire third period.
Yes, yes. He was dead.
Yeah. Great player. Had a tremendous run. But how do you go on the home ice of the team that just won the championship and tell them that somebody else's player on a losing team? Holy Jerry West, what are we talking about here? That he was going to win the trophy. Now, it is true that the trophy encompasses all four rounds of the postseason, the Conn Smythe for the most valuable player in the postseason.
But like we've said, Bobrovsky was great all playoffs, too.
Without Bobrovsky, they don't win any of these series.
Well, those three games
yes.
Fell off, but they were the only three. Even in the losses the rest of the playoffs, it was always tight games where he gave up a dumb goal here or there, but he played great all game. Like, he went toe-to-toe with McDavid. Look, what McDavid did in those two games where he had 4 points, even Gretzky didn't do it, scoring over 40 points over a playoff run is astounding, and it's fantastic. But Bobrovsky also had one goal or less for three fucking games where only Brodeur and Wah. So if you want to put a guy in great company, it's pretty good company. It's two of the top four goalies ever, like five goalies ever. So, and I don't even like Bobrovsky. I give him shit as much as anyone. And
you had been credited with the statement, which you made, and it is in writing somewhere.
It's in a text, yes, lady.
You know what? That's why. Don't text. Don't hit send. That's the most dangerous button.
I know how I feel about the guy.
Yes, on social media or any kind of a text, as you declared that the Panthers will never, never win a championship as long as they have Sergei Bobrovsky in the pipes. And I would have to think that he was largely instrumental. I mean, he held it together. He was under immense pressure. In the third period of that game, the Edmonton Oilers looked like a veritable certainty to score and at least send Game 7 into a sudden-death overtime situation. He was just being absolutely pummeled. He looked like Gary Gilmore facing that Utah firing squad. I mean, I was surprised at some point Paul Maurice didn't call a timeout and just give him a blindfold and the last drag of a cigarette. That's how much pressure he was under in the third period, as they were just buzzing around the net with all kinds of traffic. Players were going in the net. Everything was going in the net. Sticks were going in the net. Watermelons were going in the net. Bowling balls were going in the net. Everything but the fucking puck went in the net in that third period. And you're going to turn around. Wow. I mean, it did seem like the league was lined up behind this Edmonton story and how great it would be to celebrate Connor McDavid, who I'm surprised. Actually, he's been in the league 9 years.
Yeah, I didn't
realize. And hasn't won the championship. And so, you know, he's got that now to carry a burden on his shoulders. I'm not a big fan, Luby. I don't know exactly where you stand on this, even after working with you for 15 years. I believe you're of the same frame of mind as I am, that it makes it easy to quantify a player's greatness and his career if they do have a couple of championship rings.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can discount the greatness of a player if they've never won a championship ring.
Well, to me, what it seems to be what media and fans do is, we'll call you great, but we're not going to put you in the all-time great. Like, right? Like McDavid, many are considering him right there with Gretzky, better than a Gretzky. But when Gretzky, Sid the Kid, Gordie Howe, all these guys have multiple titles, it'll be hard for them to put McDavid in that place. But again, to me, hockey's, it's a fucking, look, the guy played his ass off. It wasn't like he didn't play well. When I say he sucked, I meant on the stat sheet.
And he was a danger, though. I mean, this stuff doesn't show up on the stat sheet because unfortunately, we were inundated with what seemed to be meaningless historical facts and stats by Sean McDonough, who normally is a very professional announcer, gives a good account of himself. He's not a screamer. It's not like, can you imagine Gus Johnson calling that game? Hit the post. You would have wanted to hit Gus Johnson with the post. McDonough, I kind of appreciate his sort of understated style in an era where screaming is very much in vogue. But the stats, who was feeding him those stats? I mean, at some point, wouldn't you have just muted the directives that were coming from the truck and say, hey, listen, Stu, enough with this bullshit. I don't care if he's the youngest guy ever in history to hit the post after scoring a goal in a game 7 after the series was 3-0. Enough of these qualifying stats. So we don't need any more of that. But, wow, I mean, the thrilling Manila type of atmosphere. Great stuff. I don't know how many people from Edmonton got in there, but it seemed to be a substantial number.
They kept showing them because when they showed the crowd in total, it was like 90% Panther. It just, most of the times this series had been like 96% Panther. So a few more Edmonton people got in there, but it wasn't like the Rangers or the Boston series.
Panthers came along at a time, too, where South Florida is very much in transition. It's considered a very hip destination now. Back then, I mean, South Beach was a bunch of 90-year-old all Jewish women in rocking chairs, literally waiting for Godot, man. I'm at one with God now, so take me whenever you want. I'm ready to go to the pearly gates there and live the rest of my life in perpetuity as a heavenly creature.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
That went out the window, and then it became Party City. The Panthers seemed to have a little bit of a parallel with that early in their existence, and then literally disappeared from South Florida's consciousness. So we've said this many times on the show here, the morning briefing, Libby. This is the town without pity. Yep. This is the city of indifference. This is a place where sports is as bizarre an entity as it possibly could be. For would you say we've had a relatively decent amount of success here, or is that a statement that's based strictly on stuff that happened in the distant past?
Well, I mean, look, if you take every team seems to have had an era, like the Marlins won 2 titles.
Yeah, but they were all centuries ago.
No, that's the thing is recently it's been one team winning or contending. The rest of the teams really have been in the Panthers, the Marlins, and even the Dolphins. The Dolphins now are exciting to watch, but they don't have a playoff victory in 20 years. The Heat, it's been the Heat. And
they don't have a championship in like 50 years.
Yes. Like it's been, we actually haven't won a lot. The Canes have been,
Were great for a period of time and look like they'll never reach that level again.
The last 20-something years has been the Heat and then a bunch of garbage.
Canes may as well be Temple, the University of Miami football team.
Yeah, they haven't won anything. Yeah. They have one bowl victory, one 10-win season in literally over 20 years. Like, that's a fact.
Oh, it's crazy. The town, a little bit stunned. Everybody was resigned to the idea that this was going to be the biggest choke job ever. We were trying to figure out where we stand with regard to Bill Buckner or Jackie Smith or the 1942 Detroit Red Wings. These are the conversations that were sprouting up all over the place. And there seemed to be a distinct lack of confidence. And then that was a position that was emboldened by the idea that all of a sudden everybody in the media, including David Portnoy, who supposedly was in a position to cash a $1 million ticket if the Edmonton Oilers had won Game 7. Now, you're assuming that this guy hedged off his bets there a little bit, but virtually everybody in the media, including Charles Barkley, was picking the Florida Panthers to win last night. I wasn't as assured as the rest of the world was because we had heard a report earlier in the day that Sergei Bobrovsky, the goalie for the Florida Panthers, was at the eye doctor, and he could not identify the big E at the top of the chart. The doctor's just waiting there and going, so Sergei, what are you seeing? He's like, huh, what? He had no idea what was going on. He thought he needed cataract surgery, never mind having something wrong with his right shoulder, which seemed to develop a little bit of a tic. And Paul Maurice, usually very eloquent when it comes to quotes. We didn't think that at first. We thought, why are they hiring this loser to come in here? He had lost more games than anybody else in the history of the National Hockey League. I mean, think about that. You had guys that coached 40 years, and he had been there that long, even though he's not an older-looking guy. He doesn't look like some old gumshoe that was behind the bench there. Right? It's not like he looked like Paul Boudreau or one of those trots. A very distinguished-looking guy, and says all the right things. I had brilliant quotes all throughout the postseason, never seemed to lose his cool. And he even was the epitome of calm entering this game. You thought, what? At the very least, he was going to break out the Blutarsky speech? Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? To try and inspire his team, not to choke off Game 7. But, wow, I mean, a date with infamy. And it was great to see the Panthers actually get the opportunity to just say, fuck you, infamy. We want no part of you. And garner the first championship. So you will be now at the parade, Mike Lubitz, Mr. Hockey. All of a sudden, you're the Don Cherry of South Florida here. Everybody's looking to you for your opinion.
I think I've been to all three Heat parades. The Marlins did a celebration. They didn't do a parade. They did like a celebration at what was, I think it was Joe Robbie still, in 97. 2003, I was up in Tallahassee, so I couldn't do the parade, but I came down for one of the games.
I happened to be at the airport when the Marlins returned, not because I was covering the Marlins return. I wanted to congratulate them, but because a guy that I knew was flying in at the same time and he owed me money. And I knew he had just won a handicapping tournament. And I thought, wow, if I don't catch this guy at the airport, he'll pay off everybody else before he gets to me. Because there were more people waiting to see this guy because they knew he had money and a lot of IOUs out there than there were to see the Marlins in 2003. When they won that championship, the World Series, with Josh Beckett on the mound there in Game 6. And it always seems like, Louie, doesn't it, that the South Florida teams want to find a way to sabotage themselves.
Got to be difficult.
And derail any chance they have of actually winning. I mean, that was the big debate then. Jack McKeon, should he pitch Beckett on a couple of days rest in Game 6 or just save him for Game 7 and hope to win Game 6 somehow?
97 go. Look, and even that Game 6, that was a dominant performance. Didn't they only score like one or two runs? Like,
they lost 4-1, I believe, or 4-2 to the Cleveland Indians that year, 97.
Well, no, but 2003, the Game 6 that they won it.
Oh, yeah.
Like 2-1, like it was literally.
It was brilliant.
Like it was not easy. And then 97, it went to Game 7. Mesa was the best closer at the time in baseball. Like we haven't won the Heat, the Thunder series. They won eventually easy. Remember, they got down one and then did the gentleman's sweep, I guess.
Right.
The second year wasn't like they should have lost that fucking series. Like it's never fucking easy. Like
they do a lot of crap, right? Even the great Eric Spoelstra, he goes Red Sea defense against the Dallas Mavericks when the Heat have a chance to easily win a championship. And another guy that looks like a midget wrestler, J.J. Barea, goes right down the middle of the paint on successive drives to the point where they drove the Panthers the Heat right into the loser's column there.
Yes.
We love self-sabotage here. We're fueled by self-sabotage here in South Florida. That's the reason that we come here, to just bake in the sun and get skin cancer. But at least we'll be getting it at a victory parade for a change. That's the good thing, Luby. And I'm glad that you're going to be out there. I'm not inclined to join in on these kind of celebrations. I just like, you know, the beauty of the whole thing and that the narrative has changed from the Panthers being a bunch of choking dogs and maybe the worst in history to now being a Stanley Cup champion with a future. People would have been so despondent. You couldn't have given tickets away for next year if they had lost this game seven. I don't think there would have been any interest in the team whatsoever.
I think it would have been a disaster because they should have, even losing, you go to back-to-back Stanley Cups, you take three games this time, at least you got closer. Like, you put it, your roster's young, but the way our city or area worked, I think it would have just been like, oh, same old fucking Panthers. Like, I for sure feel like that's what would have happened if they had not done what they did last night.
All right, well, join me in a rousing and resounding chorus of, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, oh, happy day. Wow. Well, when Jesus comes, my friend. we were coming last night. It was incredible. And all over our pants. The Panthers won the Stanley Cup. Check out Gary Bettman, too. What the hell is wrong, Gary? Are you okay?
I think he has a physical thing. That's why I'm trying to not.
Yeah, sometimes that happens where somebody will notice like a lump on a guy's neck. I think this happened with that flipper flop guy. Guy was on reality television and he was flipping houses. And somebody called in and said, hey, what's that lump on your neck? They saw him on TV. Shouldn't somebody do this with Gary Bettman? It literally looked like he had some kind of nervous, nerve disease that was challenging him to be able to just stand up on the ice. Unless it was the hideous nature of the fact that he had money on who would win the Conn Smythe. Has there been a betting scandal in hockey yet? You would think that would be the sport where it would come, no? These guys don't care about money. They make millions of dollars. All they care about is getting their name on the cup.
This is the one sport where actually I don't think it would happen. Like, there's their pride. Like, the fact that McDavid literally, I think, played, they would sit him down and bring him back out before the actual, like, play started. Like, he was doing stuff you don't see in hockey. Like, yeah. Look, that's what's funny is that the 14-minute mark to like the 6-minute mark was fucking mad dash.
Yes.
The last 5 minutes, it wasn't. The Panthers actually controlled it. And it's funny. I didn't even think about it because I was so biased in my own views. But like McDonough actually says, once it gets down to like 2 minutes, the Oilers look done. Like, the Oilers weren't even rushing the puck. They were just flinging it. And like, they were so gassed at the end because I think their other
line. And that was an MO in the Panthers all year long. They wore teams out in the third period.
Yes.
So they did it again last night. They didn't even really attempt to score in the third period. I think they had maybe four or five shots in total in the third period. They just concentrated on making sure Edmonton didn't get something decent off. And they had their gargantuan number of chances. It literally looked like rush hour at Penn Station in front of the net. Bobrovsky's laying there on his back with no stick. He's flopping around like he just bought a striped bass into the boat there off the shores of Long Island. And still, they couldn't find a way to put the puck in the net. So congratulations, Florida Panthers. We're off to Schneid, Luby. It won't be said of the Florida Panthers that, they never won a championship. What kind of suck-ass franchise are they? Bill Zito, Executive of the Year, without question. I mean, he should win it for all sports. Number one executive in all of sports. I'm not saying that just because he won. Guy's got balls, made a lot of moves, and they all ended up paying dividends. 2 years in a row in a Stanley Cup final. Finally, we can say that the Florida Panthers are Stanley Cup champions. All right, a lot of fun being with you today on the morning briefing. We'll turn our attention into other areas in the coming days here. For Mike Luby Lewitz, I'm Jeff DeForest. Thanks so much for tuning in. I don't know if you saw the earlier edition that we recorded, a complete butcher job. Let's hope that went away into cyberspace. And we thank you so much for tuning in to today's edition of the morning briefing.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.